The people who walked in darkness. Thus began our first scripture passage this evening from chapter 9 of the prophet Isaiah. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah are all about darkness. The times were turbulent. The people of God were being attacked and occupied by enemies. The nation was divided, split in two. So it wasn't difficult for the Assyrian army to conquer them. Isaiah wasn't exactly a happy prophet. In the first chapter, he rightly accused the people of being sinful, rebellious, corrupt. He said they had forsaken God. But every once in a while, peppered throughout these 39 chapters, Isaiah looks to the future with great hope. He looks at a nation that will one day prosper. One day will have peace. As a poet, Isaiah indicates that the lion and the lamb will lie down together. They're no longer enemies. We heard today the hope that Isaiah proclaimed. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in a land of darkness, on them, light has shined. That's how Isaiah sees the future. Light will shine on their darkness. Isaiah teaches that out of this time of war and violence and bloodshed, peace will rise up. In other words, there's hope for the people of God. God will fix this. God will enter in and God will bring joy for the people. And this will be a sign for you, a child is born. A son is given. Prince of peace. Gathered here this evening, we know who this Prince of Peace is, born in that little town of Bethlehem. A child is born. A son is given. Christmas time is a time of deep darkness for many. Family conflicts increase in this season. Sickness is always inconvenient, but it seems a little more difficult during this season. This doesn't seem exactly the right time to share our darkness, the darkness of sickness and separation, fear, despair, grief, anxiety. This is supposed to be a time of joy. Joy to the world, we'll sing in a bit. Isaiah was dealing with doom and gloom, but he interrupted himself with hope and with a peaceable kingdom. And tonight, it's our hope that any doom and gloom that we have in our lives gets interrupted with hope. That our lives get interrupted with peace and with love and even joy. And then tonight the candles and the glow sticks will be lit. And I know that there are people here in this room tonight walking in darkness who will see a light, a great light. Tonight the light of the candles and the glow sticks will flicker with the message of Isaiah and with the message of the Christmas angel. This will be a sign for you, a child is born. A son is given. Prince of Peace. Tonight we proclaim, in the midst of turmoil, there's hope. There's peace. And even though pain and struggle are still here, God enters tonight and gives us peace and hope, even for a little while. Along with the candles and glow sticks, another thing that I really like about our Christmas Eve worship is that you have taken time away from all the hustle and bustle, as we used to call it. You've decided tonight to receive divine light and peace. You've decided that tonight that the peace that God offers is good for your heart, is good for your soul, is good for your family. There's an old story about a family in Hillsboro, California, on Christmas Day. The father of the house decided that he was going to take his family, his wife and children, out into the neighborhood to go Christmas caroling on Christmas Day. It was a long time ago. It didn't go well the first visit. They were met with angry words. The person that came to the door said, "We don't have time for this." And the father said very respectfully, "Yes, ma'am." They didn't sing. They went on to other houses and continued their caroling. By the way, that father's name was Bing Crosby. For those who don't know, he was a famous singer who recorded over 1,600 songs and was an actor in over 70 films. And for those who were here Sunday, he was the one that really made "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas" famous. And I changed the sermon title to "I'm Dreaming of a Right Christmas." You know, I can hardly imagine missing out on personally hearing Bing Crosby singing with his family because I didn't have time for it. But much more, I can hardly imagine missing out on the singing of "Silent Night" by candlelight on Christmas Eve. Now, of course, that first Christmas Eve wasn't silent. We'll sing "Silent Night." It really wasn't silent. At last Saturday's worship, we sang "O Little Town of Bethlehem." And after we did, I said that, you know, that song always makes me chuckle in one place where it says, how silently the wondrous gift is given. That had to be written by a man. That birth was far from silent. That night was far from a silent night, the song that we're going to sing in a short while. And yet, the writers of that poetry, the writers of those hymns, knew something very essential about this holy night. The word "silence" is a poetic way of saying there's peace. There is peace in the hearts and souls of believers. There's peace in the midst of chaos and turmoil and anxiety and grief and despair. Now, I promise you, I'm honestly not intending to be negative tonight about those who aren't with us this evening or those who don't come to church at all. I'm not being negative about that. What I intend is to invite you who are here to take what you receive and give to others. Light shines in your darkness. Light shines in the darkness. Your light shines in the darkness ahead of this night. We believe tonight that darkness and sin and evil don't get the last word. God's peace gets the last word. God's love gets the last word. It sometimes feels as if the darkness and all that's wrong with the world get the last word. Some here tonight might be experiencing a heavy weight of darkness. But we believe this. The light of Jesus Christ still shines forth from his death on the cross and his resurrection. This light of Christ that comes from the resurrection shines forth into any darkness we might have. And as disciples, we are called to bring that light into the darkness of others. We bring hope, peace, joy, and love into the world. Light shines in the darkness. God's light shines on me. Because that's true, because God's light shines on me, we bring that light to others. No matter who they are, no matter what they believe, no matter what they don't believe, our place is not to judge or condemn. Our place is to let God's light, the light that we've received, go wherever we go. Our calling is to bring the light of Christ to others. Each of us in the days ahead at some point are going to experience a place of darkness, even deep darkness. But please remember this when that happens. Light shines in the darkness. God's light shines on me. And because that's true, then we get to sing to others. Maybe not literally sing this, but by our actions and by our caring and by our words, by our kindness, we can sing to others. Light shines in the darkness. God's light shines on you. Let us pray. First, set your mind for a moment on the darkness in your life. Set your mind on the darkness that someone you know and love is feeling. Set your mind for a moment on the darkness of our world. And now listen. Listen for the voice of God speaking to you. The voice of God speaking to those you love. The voice of God speaking to the world. Receive my light. God says, receive my peace. God says, receive my love.